Excellent. Well, very good. Well, it's wonderful to see you guys all here again today as we continue our to observe this this Lenten season. And as we do so, let us remember the day that we were brought into the family of God in our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this night. We thank you for the people that are gathered here, Lord. We thank you for the faith that you have given us. We thank you for your Son who came to die on the cross for us. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit so that we can understand and so that we can be led through our life, that we can be instructed, so that we can understand your word. Lord, I thank you for all of these things, and I pray that you would continue to be active in our life tonight while we open your word together. All these things we bring before you. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, my friends, let us sing together and just praise the Lord that has saved us. Please be seated. The first reading for tonight is Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rains on the righteous and unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? And even the tax are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the second reading is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We live in a very contentious and conflicted world, so much so that it's developing its own vocabulary. I was just looking at the headlines, and it's talked about how DeSantis punched back at former President Donald Trump. Okay? We have Chris Rock responds a year after the slap that was heard around the world. And then Will Smith responds to Chris Rock. And all the while, Jimmy Kimmel is throwing shade. Okay? We got a whole bunch of vocabulary that comes from this. Here's all the different words that I've found. We have fires back, clap back, push back, fight back, come back, hit back, and retort. All right? Basically, all of these things are coming from the same, that basically have the same meaning, and it's basically response to an insult in a vengeful manner. Good thing we've never done any of that. Yeah. The thing is this, with all this going on in the world, I mean, it's kind of hard not to join in. I mean, it seems like it's just the way people are, you know? Somebody insults you, you hit them back. And yeah, not exactly what God's telling us to do, though. And I want you to understand exactly what's going on when we do this, because it kind of makes sense, right? I mean, somebody says something harsh, mean, hurtful to you, and the first thing is you get hurt. You get hurt because somebody is thinking bad about you, and you're afraid that somebody else is going to hear it, and then other people will think bad about you, and you don't want people thinking bad about you, because it's very important for us to know that everybody thinks good things about us, correct? Right. And so since we are hurt, that leads directly into anger, right? And from anger, there's a very short road to fire back, clap back, push back, fight back, come back, hit back, or retort. Right? I mean, it's like that's just kind of how it goes. We go from hurt to anger to saying things. And God is trying to help us tonight with this whole problem. And I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to get to the beginning of that chain. Because here's what the text tells us today. It says this. I mean, first of all, it tells us don't do it, right? You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So what we're supposed to do is very clear and obvious, right? The question is, how do we get to the point where we can do it? And here's how that works. Starts with Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Now stop and soak that in for a second. Who's speaking? I mean, who's describing us as God's chosen people? It would be God, right? So now understand this. We are God's chosen people. When did he choose us? Before time began, right? Way, way, way back, before the world was formed, before God had even started creating, he knew you, he loved you, and he chose you. So how important does that make you? Right? And what did this choosing cause God to do? Well, it caused God to create, it caused God to redeem when we fell into sin, it caused God into implementing a thousands of years of plan laying out the framework so that Jesus could come and rescue us and redeem us from our sin. And then for 2,000 years since then, the Spirit has been working among us, making sure that people are brought to faith in Christ. All of that is because God chose you, and that you are holy and dearly loved. So, now that we've defined your relationship with God and exactly what the God of all creation, the one who made everything, the one that holds everything together, the one that is in heaven, looking down at you right now, he is looking down at you with incredible love. He sees you as his perfect child because of the righteousness that we bear because of what Christ did for us on the cross. He thinks you are amazing. All right? Now, how important is that? Kind of important. Why? Because you know the thing that's going to keep us from being so hurt by people who are hurtful in this world is for us to remember what God thinks about us. Because here's the thing. If God thinks you're amazing, if he thinks you are precious, if he thinks you are just the most amazing thing in the world, if he thinks that you are worthy of dying and rising again so that he can live with you forever, Jesus did all of that because he wanted to be with you forever in heaven. The idea of being separated from you was absolutely unacceptable to him. And so that's what he did so that he could be with you. That's how much God loves you. And if God thinks that much of you, how big of a deal is it when a mere person decides they don't like you? You get this? I mean, the question is, where does our identity come from? Does our identity come from whatever the mob thinks? Or does identity come from the God who redeemed us? And if it comes from the God who redeemed us, the thing is will it still hurt if somebody says something insulting to us? Well, sure it will. But it's not the biggest deal. And the thing is that in our lives, because of what Jesus has done, we have a bigger problem. And our bigger problem is this. God wants all these people to be saved and be brought to the knowledge of the truth. He wants them to grow in a relationship with him. He wants them to be redeemed. He wants them to live in the relationship that he created through what Jesus did on the cross. And if that's the goal for God, guess what the goal is for us? And so if somebody comes to us and insults us, even if they are completely a horrible person, it doesn't even matter what it is they have done in the past, what it is they are doing right now, all that we see is that they are one of God's beloved people, and does God want them to be saved? And if God wants them to be saved, what is our goal in the situation where they're insulting us? Our job is to love them. We have to get ourselves out of the way. Our ego, our hurt feelings, all that stuff. This is time for us to be grown-up Christians, set all that stuff aside, and do the job that God has put us here to do, which is to love those people and help them to understand how much Jesus loves those people so that they can be in this relationship with him. If we respond in anger, all we're doing is making it that much harder for us to do the job that God has called us to. And so here's the thing. What we got to do is we got to be constantly focused on exactly who we are in Christ. This can't be something that falls into the back of our mind that we forget about, that we don't know anymore, that we just get busy and we start thinking. Because the thing is, as soon as we allow that kind of room in our lives, we are going to start slipping away from the mind that is focused on our relationship with God and our identity with God. I mean, our mind is sinful and it wants to go its own way. And it wants to join the rest of the world for the tit for tat, constant arguing and bickering. But we're called to better things than that. And so what we need to do is we need to constantly call ourselves back to this. And this is what Martin Luther talked about, right? He said, every morning when you get up, the first thing you do is Remember your baptism. Remember the day that you were brought into the family of God. And the next thing you do is you confess your sins. You know? And if you think you haven't sinned since you got out of bed, you probably laid in bed too long. Confess that. You know, I mean, it's like, it's that just me probably. But nevertheless, I mean, the thing is that sin is never a hard thing to find. Confess it. Lay it at God's feet. And then pick up that identity that God gives you as his perfect, forgiven child and start the day. But live your life in the knowledge of what God has done in your life. Live your life in the, live out that new life that God has given you in your baptism. Live out the knowledge of knowing that you are divine royalty, representing the God and Father, our King, that made all things, and that you have a job to do in this world. And focus your energy instead of going down the list of what I want to do. Lay yourself at God's feet. Sure, make plans. You got to make a list, right? Otherwise, you just walk through life in circles. But if you, the thing is how much do you cling to that list that you made? Right up until God gives you his own list. And then you do his. And this is how we live. We live making plans. We live sacrificing our plans and goals so that we can follow instead the plans and goals that our God puts in front of us. When a person is obviously distressed, but you're in a hurry to get someplace, what are you going to do? You going to stay on schedule? Are you going to do the kingdom work? You know what I'm saying? And so this is the thing, is that we have to be thinking in terms of what is it that God wants us to do? What is it that God wants out of our lives? And get our own egos out of the way. So next time we're insulted, if we're prepared, if we've done the disciplines, if we're living in the knowledge of our specialness, our family connection to the Father and God of all creation, if we know who we are in Christ, those pains, those insults, they start to roll off. They just don't matter so much. And instead, what you see is you see the person who's insulting you. And you look at that person and you learn to love that person. Even when they're in the middle of being horrible to you, you love that person because God loves that person. And you get to use this opportunity. It's an opportunity. It's not a bad situation. It's an opportunity to minister, to witness, to love that person so that they can experience the same forgiveness that we all experience. So when the world is contentious and going bananas around you, choose not to participate. Choose to live differently because God has given you a new identity. He has given you a new reality. Let's live what God has given us. Let's live in this grace. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have blessed us, that you have given us, that you have brought us into your family and given us a purpose in our life. Lord, I pray that you would help us to keep that in the forefront of our minds, Lord, so that we, in all circumstances, we can work to do the job you gave us. And not let our own ego or hurt feelings, Lord, be in the way. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends. Let us continue our worship service then by singing once again. Oh, and the offering. We're going to be taking the offering in the boxes in the lobby. And but if you could register your attendance in the folders, that would be very appreciated. Thank you so much. Desert dreary, Savior from the world. Heavenly Father, we come before you today at night, and we thank you that you make it possible for us to gather here, that you have covered us with your blood and wiped us clean of all the filth so that we can live in your presence, so that we can live as your children. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we do, that you would continue to be with us and give us strength, guide us, help us to know the right things to do, help us to see the opportunities to serve you, give us the right words to say in just the right time so that we can be your spokespeople in this world. Help us, Lord, to act in love, to respond in love. Lord, I pray that you'd also be with us as we go through all the difficulties of life, through the sicknesses and the injuries and the relational struggles and just all the challenges that we face on a daily basis. Give us strength and energy to get through those things. Constantly, Lord, remind us of your presence and help us, Lord, as we remind each other of the truth of your presence and the strength that you provide. Lord, I pray that you would continue to guide us as your church, Lord, as you continue to guide each of us as individuals. Help us, Lord, to serve you. All these things we pray in your name, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Oh,
receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's sing together. It's been wonderful worshiping with you folks this evening, and I pray that God would continue to be with you and to guide you, that you could take this word of God with you and continue to meditate on it and apply it to your lives, because we heard before, just a few weeks ago, right, that somebody who hears God's word and then forgets it is it's like somebody who looks in the mirror and immediately walks away and forgets what they look like. So, not so productive, not so helpful. So let's be intentional on meditating on this stuff. All right? Thanks. You guys have a wonderful week, and I guess I'll see you again on Sunday.